The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Bright Side Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. This week on the Bright Side, DJ sounds like he's in a tin can. Yep, sorry about that. But while I sound like I'm in a tin can, we will be previewing Captain Marvel and talking about what an exciting week I had out and about at the stores. And don't forget to listen at the end to our sponsors and how you could save some money. Hey, John, how you doing?
Oh, man, I am cool in the gang. How about you?
I'm doing great. Back in another store. This is fun.
Yeah.
What a week.
Yeah, a lot of comic stores for you this week.
Yeah. Actually, more than usual. I had that event, quote, in quotation fingers, at Friendly Neighborhood Comics.
Right.
It was...
How'd that go?
Awesome. Awesome. I stood that they let us put up posters, and I was handing out flyers, talking to people. And every person I walked up to, like you said before, is like, they're just dying to talk. Not a single person said they didn't want to talk. Didn't have time. The only people I didn't get to talk to were people that, like, I was already engaged with somebody else. So, like, they came in the store. They were probably there for, like, 20 minutes, and I still didn't get to talk to them because people just were dying to talk. I met one guy, this guy, Tony. He actually taught comics at a college. He never told me.
I need to get a gig like that, man.
Oh, well... First off, I would not be, I found out I would not be good on a game show.
No.
Because we're talking comics and it ran the gamut. You talk anything, any comic, anything, right? And he was talking about how, like, he goes, y'all, people say they're into comics and this and that. And he was kind of talking about posers, which, like, scared the crap out of me. And this guy's, he's a big man too. He's, he's taller than me. He's a big guy. And he goes, yeah, like, the Punisher series comes out and you get all these people. Oh, I love the Punisher. I love the Punisher. And he goes, and do they even know his real name? And I literally froze.
Not good under pressure.
Literally froze. And it was like, and that was the first guy I talked to. I was there from 11 o'clock. I didn't get out till 4:30. I met him at like 11:30, right? 4:30, I'm walking in my truck. And I'm like, Frank Castle! I mean, it's not like I've been thinking about it the whole time, but right. It was like, I was like, oh my God. But you know what I mean? Like when somebody does that to you, all I wanted to do is look them in the face and go, oh yeah, Frank Castle, blah, 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 right? And I was like, I had nothing. And I just kept nodding like, yeah, can you believe that? And I'm like, I'm done. I froze.
Suddenly, I'm back in a high school locker.
Yeah, like. I was looking behind me, see if there were any there. It was scary. I'm like, oh, this guy's. But he was great, and that was at the beginning of the conversation. So apparently, I didn't offend him by not being able to say the name because he just kept going and going, and it was off. And everybody was like that. A lot of people. It was met some couples, and just they're. One couple came in and they were there the night before because they were having this sale, all like back bin stuff. And it's like you could fill a box for X amount of dollars, whatever it was. And they're like, they were there the night before. They come back in and they planned on being there till closing again. But really, really good time. Really good time.
Good.
And
good deal.
It's kind of spawned a new idea. I want to start doing that more. And traveling around and meeting all these people, going to different stores and getting different opinions and listening to these people because they just want to talk. It's like,
oh, I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
But
you know, and I used to be that guy too. You know, that kind of resented the people that were coming to it because of the movies or TV, because I felt like they didn't earn their stripes. But I don't think that way anymore because honestly now I feel like whatever brings you to it,
right.
You know, like, at some point, I read my first comic book, and I didn't know anything, and there was probably some dude that had been reading comics for 20 years and was like, well, what does this kid know? He bet you he doesn't even know what the Punisher's real name is.
Right.
You know, and sooner or later, like, something brings you in for the first time. And I used to think it, you know, it had to be the comic books. But if I go back even to my own origins, my secret superhero origin, I didn't come in with the comic books either. For me, it was TV. It was Batman and,
right,
and the Super Friends. So, you know, whatever brings you in, I think, is what's important. And then, you know, even if it doesn't bring you to reading comic books, but even if you just want to go see every Marvel movie and you look forward to that from movie to movie, you're not any less of a fan to me than, you know, somebody that reads all those comics.
Right.
You know, that's the way I look at it anyways. Because, you know, like I said, I used to be that guy. I used to be kind of superhero snobby, you know, because, yeah, I've been reading comics my whole life. But, what difference does it make? Honestly, how you get to it, as long as you're there now.
Exactly.
You know?
I think the only time it becomes an issue is when, and the part that bothers me, where it's like comic book snobby, and I don't know if it's necessarily snobby, is when people criticize something, but they don't understand the whole backstory because they don't know, like, so right, they'll criticize the movie, but they don't understand how accurate the movie was. And there is stuff in the comics that reference that, but it's for the fan, I've almost said legit. That's not fair. For the person that reads the comics, they get the story, or they'll, right, get the reference, but the person, then other people will criticize it. Similar to when Infinity War came out, and there were those few lone critics that would be like, well, if this movie is so great, why do you have to see all the other 17 movies to understand this one movie? Well, that's part of the universe. That's part of the enjoyment. It isn't a standalone movie. You know, it's probably not as good if you haven't seen all of the other movies. But
right, but I also don't think it is necessarily required viewing to having seen all of them. You know, obviously it makes your path easier if you have seen them all.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you could still, like, if I came in cold to Infinity War, there was enough information there to give me everything I needed. Like, I don't think I needed to see all that stuff.
Yeah, but I always wonder, you know. I think the person would be lost. Because think about what you just said, like, how do you come in cold to, like, where have you been on the planet that you're now going to see this movie and never saw a single Marvel movie before?
I mean, maybe I just turned 7, or, I mean, there's always,
yeah,
every movie is always somebody's first, you know, every,
that's true.
You know, like, that was Stan Lee's big thing with his comics, like, every single comic is somebody's first comic.
Right.
And that's why he would reiterate, you know, origins, and you would always get that synopsis of, you know, the radioactive spider bite. You know, you always got that little bit because you never knew when it was somebody,
right,
new that was coming in.
So,
you know?
What's
so
funny is that actually brings up a good point. So when we were kids and when we had kids, our conversation was, and it's going to seem minuscule by comparison now, what order did you show your children the Star Wars movies? You know what I mean? Like, I showed my kids 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3, and obviously they're old enough now.
Well, I'm trying to think. So when did Star Wars
99.
A New Hope?
Oh, New Hope?
Came back in, what, 97? Like, when did,
yeah,
it hit the
theaters
again?
I think that's a good question. It was before,
probably around 97-ish, right?
97.
Which
I want to say, here's a guess. 96, maybe they did do them in 96, and they did all three, like, months apart, didn't they? It,
yes,
wasn't years apart, it was 97, so it was,
right,
probably like 97, 98.
So my son is 5 years old at that point, and I did take him to see that movie, but I don't know how much of it he retains from being five, so his first memories of it are probably episode 1, because when we go to see that, he's 7, 8 years old, somewhere around there.
Right.
Which is the same age I was when I went to see Star Wars.
Right.
So even though chronologically, I probably took him to see 4, 5, and 6 first.
Right.
I don't know that he remembers that much of it being 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
He probably came to it with 1, 2, and 3 and then 4, right. 5, and 6.
But that is a conversation people have. Like, if you're having kids right. now, like my.
If you're having kids now, then you kind of do them in order, I think.
Well, I, like, what's the order though? You start with.
Well,
one?
There's all kinds of, yeah, there's yeah. all kinds of viewing orders out there on the net.
I've
that
always
tell you,
been a 4, 5,
watch it
six.
This way, that way. Yeah.
Because
it, well, they even tell you now, I don't know what it is, but it's probably like 4, 1, 3, 7. Like,
oh,
they've
geez,
got it all.
That's,
yeah, who, there's some kind of order.
Who came up with
well,
that?
Because,
Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah. Well, it has to do with, like, not spoiling. Because, like, let's say you start now and you watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
By the time you get to Empire, well, Luke, I am your father. Well, no shit. We saw the first 5 movies already.
Yeah, exactly.
We know that.
That's what I mean. That's
there's
why
no,
I always
so
want to go 4, 5, 6.
So they do have, like, a recommended viewing order out there. I never really paid much attention to it because I've seen them all out of order my whole life.
Right.
But if I was going to take somebody through it from start to finish, I'd find that order on the net. And
right.
That's kind of how I'd take them, take them through it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that kind of like an obscure order. I've always been, are you a 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, or are you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? And I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is just, like you said, by the time you get to 5, the greatest reveal is already been
exactly.
revealed.
It's already, right. It's already gone.
You
so.
Know? Although that could be substituted with, don't kiss your sister.
Well,
because that could
yeah.
be a shocker. You'd be like, what are you doing? Oh, they don't know.
Right, but we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyways, that gets me back to that. Look, we just had that discussion. How long did that take? What is it going to be like 20 years from now when our kids will be telling their kids, like, we're going to sit down and watch these group of movies and there's like 22 of them.
Right. And we got to watch Solo and then Rogue One and then.
It's, think
you know, we've
got
to hop on to
is.
Disney and watch The Mandalorian before we can go to episode 11 and, you know.
And but not yeah. only that, now, you know, today's topic, we're talking Captain Marvel eventually.
Eventually.
But that's a prequel to everything that's, you know, this is going to be a prequel to everything that's taken place so far.
Right.
So it's like now when you go back 20 years from now, it's like, do you watch it as the prequel? Do you tell, is there going to be a big reveal, like, I'm your father type thing?
Right. There's going to be some kind of,
that you can't wait.
Marvel's MCU viewing order also.
Right.
You know, so.
And then, but then still, Captain America is, you know, a prequel to that prequel.
Right. Cause technically Captain America happened in World War II. So.
Correct. So it's like, but just imagine sitting down 20 years from now and going, you know, with your kids, like, we're going to watch, we're going to have a movie marathon. And it would take all of, like, February vacation.
Right.
Every day. Lots of popcorn.
Right. All day, every day.
I don't, that's a lot.
You have to watch it in phases. You'll have to watch phase 1, phase 2.
Yeah.
But even still, Captain Marvel's happening in phase 3, which would predate all of phase 1. So, it's like, who knows what you would do.
Ugh. So. So anyways, off of that, I don't know how we even got sidetracked off of that. I still had one more. I talked to another, actually I heard about, there's one down by you too. So I found a comic book store that's also a bar. And
yeah.
I, talking to people around here, they said that there's actually one in Houston as well.
Yeah, it's actually owned by Ming Chen and Hunter Pence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you have you been there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I have not, but I have heard of it.
So,
and I know roughly where it is, but I've never been.
So I'd never even heard of one. So I was kind of interested by it. I found them on Twitter, and it's the Apotheosis Comics and Lounge, and
okay.
it's in St. Louis. So I was, like, really intrigued by it. So I was like, hey, can I talk to you? I told him I'm writing an article and stuff, and I had some questions. So he, you know, he's like, yeah, absolutely. We actually talked yesterday, and my first question to him was, did you have any blowback on, like, how hard was it to get a liquor license, being that one of the stigmas of comic books is, and a comic book store is, it's for kids?
Right.
And he said, well, first you have to understand the, he laughed and he said, the first thing you have to understand is the culture here in St. Louis. He goes, we are home to, you know, Budweiser.
Right.
So it's pretty easy out there. They said it's, you know, bars, people have meetings in bars. They're a little more easygoing about the kids. Obviously they're not served and stuff, but, but the kids, but his clientele was mostly 30s, he found. So, but I had a great conversation with him yesterday and I was like, definitely, I don't know if you saw my, my Twitter. If I put it out on Twitter, I was like, hashtag, you know, vacation spot. Cause, right. And that's what got me to thinking, especially after going to a friendly neighborhood. This would be a blast. Go out there and talk to these people. And also, friendly neighborhood, I am going to be going there for midnight of
Detective,
yeah. And they want us to run a podcast from there or come up with something. They're not requiring it. But they're like, that would be great because they like, you know, it generates interest for them too.
Right.
And so maybe I'll do some interviews, try to record some stuff because we're so new at that. We have no idea.
Right.
So, but that'll be probably the next event. Maybe I'll do one more between now and then. But so.
Well, that's just a couple weeks away because 999 came out today.
Yeah. It's a month away. The 26th? Yeah, so it's a month away.
Something like that.
It's a month, literally a month, exactly a month away.
Right.
And you saw our tweet from Mike, who referenced us as one of his favorite comics, The Valiant.
I did, yeah.
Wasn't that awesome?
That was awesome.
Yeah, I hit him, I direct messaged him, thanked him appropriately. And I
paid him his $25.
Yeah.
I PayPal'd him his $20.
My favorite is both of us like, did you know him?
Right.
And I'm like, I know where he lives and he's nowhere near any of us.
Cause I was wondering if it was somebody, like I said, one of my customers or somebody that I knew or somebody
he's
that
from
you
Florida.
Knew, but yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I asked him, I said, and you know how things when you communicate direct message on Twitter, it's not as instant. Like people are like doing other things. So it's like our conversation took like all day and it was like 3 messages.
Right.
But I asked him, I'm like, hey, how did you hear about us? Came back like an hour later. I know this sounds stupid, but I forget. I was like, oh, that's okay. But he said he just searches all the time because he has a long commute and he searched for us, searched for our type of podcast, which okay, that's even better because that means we're popping up.
Well, I was to say, yeah, that's right. That's great that we actually came up when he searched because
I know
what he searched, comic books,
right?
You know, I'm not sure what his search terms were, but it's just good to know that we came up with whatever he was searching for.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Thanks, Mike, if you're listening. He might be the one.
Right.
You are the one. No.
Or he listened and then stopped. After talking to you, he didn't want to listen anymore.
Yeah. That was a fun week. I had all this stuff hit and you're like, hey, it's good. It's coming around. It's working.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So how was your week?
Well, nowhere near as eventful as yours. Pretty much my standard week. Read some comics, watched a little TV, finished Umbrella Academy.
Oh, did you? I haven't had time.
Yeah, I did. I really liked it.
I grabbed the book.
I went back and thumbed through the graphic novel when I finished, and I noticed just thumbing through it that it really appeared very different than what we saw on the show. So
really?
The characters were all the same, obviously, but it seemed like there were some things happening in the graphic novel that didn't happen in the show, which is always going to be the case. But it did intrigue me enough to want to read it.
Yeah.
Just haven't gotten to it yet.
So one of the reasons I picked the book up is I've had many conversations about that and Deadly Class. And the prevailing opinion was they're very accurate.
Really? Well, like I said, maybe it is. Maybe it was just me thumbing through it and I didn't recognize the scenarios. I do agree with you know, I said this, I think, last week when we talked about Deadly Class. It is very accurate to the book up to the point where I've read the books.
Right.
And where I've seen the show go. I'm just about at the point, I think, with either tonight's episode or maybe next week's, where the content will start to pass what I've read. But it's been pretty spot on to the books, which I think is really great. But you know, like I said last week, you know, the writer of the book is basically overseeing the production of the show. So he's going to make sure that it doesn't go too far from the source material, I think.
Yeah. So
where are you at? Are you caught up with Deadly Class?
Deadly Class, I haven't really had time. I'm probably episode four by now.
Okay, so you still haven't watched the trippy episode.
Yeah,
the
trippy
acid
one.
Trip
I talked to somebody
yet.
About it, though. I told him what you said, and he was like, yeah.
Well, and I did go back and kind of thumb through the book, and it's like a page in the book. So
oh, really?
It really doesn't go on for nearly as long as it did on the show. But,
that's funny. But no, I want to start the books and read as far as, because I don't want to ruin the show. But I like to watch the show and then read the episode almost, you know what I mean? Because I guess there's a little bit more background. I had a different conversation at another store and it was, that they told me that there's some background information and stuff. You'll understand some stuff in the show a little bit better.
Right. There's always a deeper background in the written material. Like that's why I kind of feel like I'm glad I watched Umbrella Academy first, in a way, because now I can go back and enjoy reading the book. But I've done it the opposite way many, many times also. And it's just like I read all of Game of Thrones before I watched Game of Thrones. And you know, you talk about background information. You know, these books are thick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, way more than what you get on the show. So it kind of goes both ways. And I can, you know, like I said, I can see it from both angles.
One of the things that I like. Very rarely do I read a book before I see a movie. Usually I like to do it the other way so I can enjoy the movie and then get a backstory. Right. But one of the things that I've always used this as, it's such a small thing, but it really points out that everything has a meaning. And now I read Terminator 2 before the movie came out. And there's a scene, you know, in Terminator 2 when Sarah Connor starts to walk to the house after she tried to snipe Miles Dyson.
Yeah.
Okay. So once she goes into auto mode and starts blowing, you know, just lighting up the house, and then she empties the magazine, drops the gun, and starts walking to the house, and she's got her handgun out. Well, there's in that scene, she's walking, and like a branch is just in front of her, and you can see it coming, and she never blinks. It hits her face. It rolls over her face. And that's it literally takes a second out of the movie. But that scene was probably about a page of the book. And they mentioned that because that was like her thinking there. She was doing everything in her power to think like a Terminator, to think like without feeling, without, you know, remorse, without anything. Like, I am going to do this because this is what is going to stop the apocalypse, right? So that little branch in the movie, which is such a minor thing that if you don't know what it is, you would never, it's nothing. It's just like, oh, why didn't they move that branch out of her face? Why'd she have to walk through it, you know? But in a book, in knowing the backstory, it was a huge thing. And that meant like a Terminator would walk right through that, never blink its eyes, and just keep on going to complete its mission.
Right.
And it's like, you think of all the things you see in movies, if you don't know the backstory, that's what you're missing out on. It's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
So. All right.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff. You ready to get into some comics?
Sure.
All right. So, what am I gonna and where am I gonna spend my money this week?
Well, you should be spending it at Arkham Comics and Games in Pearland, Texas. But
there you go. Congratulations.
Shameless plug.
It's not shameless.
So, you know, the Speculator books this week are really books that we've talked about in the past during our FOC conversations. Now that we're starting to, you know, have a steady schedule of what we're doing, these things are going to start to piggyback off of each other. If I do my FOC notes right, then it is what we should be seeing in the speculator corner, I guess. But Batgirl, Batgirl number 32, the Derek Chu variant, you know, it's selling just for a little bit over cover price, but his books have been kind of on the speculator radar for a while. The Harley Quinn covers he did maybe about a month and a half ago are still selling for quite a bit over cover price. So this is an artist to watch. This was a great looking cover. Like I said, I know I highlighted it during the FOC because I really liked the cover. It is a book I sold out of today, and even though I ordered up on it, knowing that it was going to be popular, it still sold out. So, if you can find one of these, you know, like I said, it may not be a huge speculator, book in terms of money, but it's a great looking cover, so it's worth having in your collection. The next one is Detective Comics number 999, the John Byrne variant. Now, yep. When I talked about this on the FOC, I really didn't know how much heat this was going to have behind it. I just knew that I was going to enjoy it because I was a fan of his from, you know, back in the 80s when he was really a popular artist. And I wasn't sure how that was going to translate to, you know, younger readers. But it actually translated very well because there's sales almost as high as $20 on this book today. And again, you know, I ordered this one a little bit more conservatively than the Batgirl, but also sold out today and had people asking for it. So just kind of goes to show that, you know, his fans, either everybody that bought it was as old as me, or his work has kind of transcended down into, you know, like the younger crowd who would have been reading, you know, his books from years ago. Wonder Woman number 65, the Art Germ variant. Another one that's selling, you know, it's really just kind of selling a little bit over cover. The Art Germ books we've been talking about for months and months. You know, he puts out great books every month, but I think retailers now have figured out that, you know, we need to order a lot of copies of these. So they're not really that hard to come by anymore. But they're such beautiful covers that they're always going to have appeal. And again, sold out today. I sold out of all three of these books today, even though I ordered very heavy on this Wonder Woman cover and still sold out. I thought it would last me at least until the weekend. And even at a limit of one per customer, they were gone before I left today. So,
wow.
Don't know what the ceiling is on it. I guess I could have sold more if I would have ordered them. But I ordered double what I would normally order on a Wonder Woman variant cover and still sold out. So none of these three should be super hard to find if you really looked for them today. But going into tomorrow and Friday, they might be a little bit harder to pick up. So if you're out there looking, I would definitely try to grab those. And the last one is a book called Honor and Curse. This is issue number one. It came from Mad Cave Studios. Super hot book for whatever reason. Again, this is the same company that did that Knights of the Golden Sun that we've been talking about for a few weeks. I didn't order Knights of the Golden Sun at all. So when I saw this title coming up, I did order a couple of copies of it. Sold out almost instantly today. This thing's selling for about $25 on eBay already and is only going to go higher. So I don't know what it is with Mad Cave Studios and these books. This book actually looks really cool. It's a samurai Japanese theme book, it looks like. So I wish I had held on to a copy so I could read it, but there I don't have any more. So I wanted to put it on our suggested reading for today, but I didn't get a chance to read it before it sold out. So that's it for speculator books for this week. Jumping into the back issue books, we talked probably 2 weeks ago now about the animated Marvel series that are going to be hitting Hulu. One of the titles was Hitmonkey, and we talked about Hitmonkey number one, and the prices were going up on that. So there's a second printing of Hitmonkey number one that, you know, generally the second prints don't see near the demand that the first prints do, but I guess this one was really scarce and limited out there in the market. This thing is crazy. It's a black and white cover selling for over $150 already. I had never even heard of Hitmonkey until the Hulu show was announced. Never seen the character, even though it's a Marvel character. I had no exposure to this character at all. And it's kind of crazy to me that because of this announcement from Hulu that this book is worth $150.
That's crazy, but, yeah.
Yeah, but it is. You know, again, not one that I think you're going to get lucky and find in a back issue bin somewhere. If you want this, you're probably going to have to pay for it. But like I said, it is seeing some crazy prices right now.
Yeah, but at $150, if you're paying that now, are you really going to get anything out of that? You
think, well, that's what I'm saying, because I don't know what the I don't know what the ceiling is on it. I don't know that it's going to, for instance, double in price anytime soon. So it's not necessarily a huge speculator book at this point, but I mean, you never know. Like, this thing, this series could be the hottest thing to hit Hulu in the last 10 years, and, you know, you just never know. It depends on what happens with the property. But the second printing, being, you know, as scarce as it is probably the one to go for, even over the first printing, if you can find it. And that's not usually the case.
Yeah, that's unusual.
I can't even think of another instance of that where I could say that, but in this case it is. Second book is another book we've also talked about fairly recently, but Avengers 684. This is the first appearance of the Immortal Hulk. You know, we talk about it feels like almost weekly at this point, with the Immortal Hulk is just on fire, and this book is jumped again. Like, I had it priced on my wall this morning at $15 and quickly raised the price to $35 because looking at eBay today, $35, $40 is the selling range for this book now. It's insane because when this came out just maybe a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago, when these came off my wall, I had at least 7 unsold copies of this book that went into my back issue bins, and they sat there for months and nobody cared about them. And then slowly they just started creeping up, you know, $8, $10, $15, now $40. Most of mine sold in the $4 range. So yeah. People that bought them from me got some good deals on them, but, I don't know what the ceiling is on this book. But it only seems to be going up every other week. It seems like this thing's going up. So I would grab this at this point before it goes any higher, you know, if you want it, because it doesn't seem to be going away. From Image Comics, this is another fairly new book. It just came out last year, Old Guard number 1. So there was an announcement made on social media this week that Netflix picked this thing up, and I guess it's in the works with Charlize Theron attached to be the lead for this character, so, or for this this property. Number ones, which I know I had extra sitting in my back issue bins for cover price, are now gone and selling for like $12. And there's a gold foil variant that was sent to retailers when the book first launched, one per store, and that thing's going for around $30 now. So, again, be on the lookout for that. It's only going to get higher once this thing starts seeing production and gets put on Netflix.
It's funny that, you know, Image Comics going to Netflix, you got, what, Dark Horse with the Umbrella Academy. It's
right. It's also on Netflix.
It seems
well, they're
like,
starting to mine. Like, they know that right. They don't have the rights really anymore to Marvel and DC.
Right.
So they're out there and they're trying to scoop up these properties. That's why Netflix signed that huge deal with Mark Millar, you know, to do all these properties. And they scooped up Brian Vaughn to do a bunch of properties.
They're seeing the landscape.
Exactly.
It's going to be, you know, Warner Brothers, Disney Plus, and Netflix. And if Netflix doesn't get ahead of this, I had this conversation this afternoon, as a matter of fact. If Netflix doesn't get ahead of this, they're basically going to be comedians and, you know, some other, you know, they have some good original content, but it's not.
Right.
All the studios are going to stop pulling. I mean, we're going to talk about it later, but Captain Marvel is the first movie to not go to Netflix. They said it will never go to Netflix, which, you know, Endgame isn't going to go. And
exactly. There won't be another Marvel movie ever to hit Netflix.
Now, will Far From Home go? Because isn't that Sony? Or is that?
It may. You know, I guess that depends on.
How does that work?
It depends on the rights of, you know, with Sony and Netflix.
Right. And Warner Brothers, they're going to probably, they'll pull all their stuff. You know, all the DC, everything will be gone. So it's like Netflix, if they don't get ahead of this, which would be kind of cool. That's going to keep people like us. We got to keep Netflix because we're going to want to see these, you know, all the independent comics are going to show up on Netflix. So you're starting to see how, like, maybe 2 years or a year and a half from now, how the landscape's going to look.
Right. Yeah. I think Marvel has seen, not Marvel, you know, Netflix has seen this handwriting on the wall ever since, you know, Disney announced the Disney Plus app. And, you know, because they did the Mark Millar deal about a year ago. So they already were preparing for this.
Oh, I'm sure all the parties involved, including Warner Brothers, they've been talking about, they've probably all been dealing with this for like 5 years. They've all had, you know, I wouldn't be surprised with when they started Daredevil. Daredevil 1. Disney probably had an idea, and Marvel probably had an idea that eventually we're going to do this. You know what I mean? So it's... They don't wake up one day and go, I got an idea.
No. No, because it takes years to develop an app and a streaming service.
Right.
You can't just do it overnight.
Well, you can. You call it DC Universe.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. But,
hey, I still enjoy it. I love it. So,
oh, I do,
I'm
too.
I'm glad they did it.
We both do. You know that. I got one more book to talk about.
Yep.
This is a book from Image. Also, this is brand new. Came out just a few months ago. It's called Die Number One. I think issue number 4 is about ready to hit the stands. This thing's been reprinted twice already, with a third print with a third reprinting on the way. So making it a fourth printing. That's actually of the book. So I mean, this thing is, the first prints are starting to creep up in value, selling for about $15. It's a pretty cool story. It's really kind of D&D related, almost Stranger Things in a way. Although they all end up actually in the kind of the fantasy world. But it's been a pretty good series, and it keeps selling out. Like I said, it's going to the fourth printing already before issue 4 has hit the stand. So, that's one to look out for. Even maybe issues 2 and 3, if you could pick up the first printings of those, would not be surprised to hear something in the future about this being optioned for TV, because the story really lends itself to, you know, kind of a episodic drama. So, I'm calling it now. I bet you at some point in the future, we're going to be talking about Dying Number One being picked up by somebody, to go to their streaming service, more than likely Netflix. And that's it for our back issue bin diving books. I got to figure out a better way to segue out of that, because that sounds kind of silly.
Everybody out of the pool.
Yeah, that's right. Our back issue bin diving books. That just sounds silly. All right, so moving on to our FOC. This week, if you could read my notes, you would see that I wrote sigh.
I am reading
none available.
I was going to give you the sigh.
There's still no DC variant covers available to look at today. This is like the third week in a row. I don't know what's going on, because this is the first time. These last 3 weeks are the first weeks that we've had this issue. We've always been able to look at them before. So I don't know what any of the DC variant covers are going to look like. Can't recommend any of them. They've only got one new series.
I listened to last week's podcast. Didn't you?
Did you?
Yes, I did. Twice. Got to get those numbers up.
I did say in the new catalog,
it's going to be all, like, you're going to be able to see them. So
is
this
the new
catalog?
The new catalog. No, because this is...
still February.
This would have been... well, this is the end of January's catalog.
Oh, okay.
February's catalog, I just finished ordering. And, yes, all the variant covers for DC were available throughout that catalog.
Okay.
So, within a week or two, our FOC notes, you know, all these covers should be there.
Oh, cool.
Something happened. I don't know what happened with these January covers, but for some reason, none of them are up to see yet. But there is one new series coming from DC, and it's actually not necessarily a new series. It's a new number one, but it's an old property, Dial H for Hero. It was a book from like the 80s, I believe. Didn't really read it back then, so I don't know too much about it, but it is coming back out. There are two covers for it. As I mentioned, the variant cover isn't available to see, so, I don't know what it's going to look like, but by the time you go into your store this weekend, before Monday, if you want to pull these things up, they should all be available by the weekend to see. Moving into Marvel, Marvel's just as bad. They only really had one variant cover available for us to look at, which was the Doctor Strange issue number 12. This is one of the Spidey villains covers. Greg Land is the artist. He does some good work, and this is a cool cover. So definitely, if you're a Doctor Strange reader, I would recommend ordering the variant cover for that. And for some reason, War of the Realms is back on FOC again this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Either they didn't get the numbers that they were hoping to get the first time around, and they're hoping that we'll change our minds this time. Or I did read somewhere earlier, as I mentioned last week, there were 28 covers for this. A lot more of the covers are available for viewing this week than they were last week. So that might be the reason it came back to FOC. The other thing Marvel did this week is the Comics Pro meeting, which is an industry meeting, happened last week. And one of the conversations that came out of that with Marvel was the frustration with all these ratio variants, you know, and having to order X to get Y and all of this stuff. And they lifted the restriction on quite a few of these covers to make them all open to order instead of being gated by ratios. And I think that's probably the other main reason why they're back on FOC, is because now we can actually order more of them than we could before. So if you looked at them last week, or you didn't get a chance to get in, you've got one more chance to get in this week and look at some of these covers and get them ordered. Once again, there's 28 covers, so there's a lot available here.
Yeah, when I ordered my War of the Realms, I also ordered all of the side stories.
Right, which is at least 5 miniseries now that I know of.
Yeah. So
it's a huge event, like I said last week. It's their big, it is their big summer event, and there's going to be tons of tie-ins to it.
So yeah, that's, I just wanted to get that out there too. So like, if you go in and you want to order the book, if they don't mention it, just, you know, I was lucky enough, the store mentioned it to me, and they were like, "Oh, do you want all the others?" And I was,
right,
what
now
others?
They don't, like, they're not all on FOC this week, but you can definitely still sign up for them.
You could sign. They're just, the FOC just means this is your last chance. Some of those ones aren't even out yet. You know, they're not even.
Right. They'll hit at various points throughout the release of War of the Realms. And I wouldn't be surprised to see more added as we go on.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like I said, this is, I think, a 2-month event, if not more.
Yeah. So
there'll be a bunch of.
And stores love it when you order that early, because
I love it when you order early.
And hey, you know what? And some of the places I've been, if they don't know about it and you heard us say, "Hey, do you have that other stuff?" They might not know about it. I've had that happen. The stores, and then other people in the store will order it. I've had stuff ordered at a specific store just because of you and I talking about it. And now the store is selling out of it. They didn't even know it was coming. So different books that we've talked about, and now they can't keep the books on the shelf. So it's kind of cool. So if the listeners are doing the same thing, you know, it's, you've said it, this stuff you can't keep on the shelf. You don't know. You try to keep up with everything as a store owner. Right. It's hard.
It's very hard because, you know, I kid a little bit, but, you know, when I talk about these speculator books, I know that I've mentioned them all before on FOC. But the flip side of that is I'm selling out on day one, and I mentioned it on FOC. So,
right.
Even though I know that it's going to be popular and I try to order up on it, there's still a ceiling. Like, I can't just order infinite copies of every book. So,
right.
You know, you order what you think you're going to sell and then a couple more. And, like, you still sell out. So, even having the knowledge, it's so hard to predict what, you know, what's going to hit and what's not going to hit.
Yeah.
You know, not to go off on a rant, but I've got tons of, like, Wolverine Infinity Watch came out 2 weeks ago. I went very heavy on that book. It's Wolverine. It's Infinity Watch, Infinity Stones. What can go wrong? What can go wrong is all the copies are still sitting unsold on my rack because nobody cared about it. So,
yeah,
you can think ahead all you want,
right,
and try to plan for all this stuff, and you just never know. You don't know what's going to hit and what isn't. I don't know why that didn't take off, because it has all the ingredients of a book that seems like people would want to buy it, but it really didn't take off. So, who knows? But yeah, to try to keep up with especially all the publishers and all the series, it's impossible to keep up with all of it. So,
oh
yeah, go to your stores and tell them what you're looking for, and maybe you'll be. Maybe yeah. I get people to tell me stuff all the time. I find out about half these series because somebody will call me and say, "Hey, I saw this on the net and I need to order it," and I'll be like, "I've never even heard of that." But
right,
sure.
Yeah. Who's Thanos?
Yeah, right.
I saw this guy in a movie once.
Right. He was purple. He had a weird chin. So two more entries for the FOC, and then we'll move on. From IDW Comics, we've got Glow number one. This is the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. There was a series on Netflix, I believe. I didn't get a chance to watch any of it, but I think there's actually two seasons of it. But and again, if you're a wrestling fan from back in the 80s, there was Glow. So this is one that should have some traction with your wrestling fans. And then from the Netflix show. So I wouldn't overlook it because it's got some potential to actually have a following. And then from Archie, another one that should have a big following is Sabrina the Teenage Witch, issue number one. Very popular Netflix show. Just aired recently, and Sabrina's been around for a long time. She's always been a popular character. There's five covers available for this. I put my money on cover C. It's the Adam Hughes variant cover. Really looks good. Adam Hughes has a huge following. Try saying that fast three times. Adam Hughes has a huge.
Adam I'd Hughes rather not.
Has a huge following. Yeah, right. Has a huge dot dot dot.
following.
Which now that I'm looking at my notes, I have Adam Hughes. Asterisk asterisk asterisk. So, but I think that's the one to watch. Like I said, he's got some really big following and has some good covers. So.
Cool.
And that's another book that should be very popular.
So we're on to recommended reading, right?
Yep, we are.
So let's do your second one. Do that one first, then I'll do one, and then I think everything after that's just going to tie right into our topic.
Yeah, I wonder why my first one is
exactly.
Going last.
So we'll do all that.
Right. So the first one I have is Avengers No Road Home. This is issue number 3 of the weekly 10-issue series. Issues 1 and 2 shouldn't be too hard to find. I've got copies of both on the shelf still. This is the second year in a row that Marvel has done these 10-issue weekly series with the Avengers. I'm not generally a fan of the weekly series at, you know, $3.99 a pop for these books. It can get kind of costly, but This has actually been a pretty good read, and that's why I wanted to bring it up before we got too far into it, because, like I said, it's only the third issue now. Really, really cool story. So far seems to be focusing on a lot of the lesser known Avengers. Like, you really haven't seen your A-team at this point. You know, it's been a lot of Hercules and Rocket Raccoon and Hawkeye. But, you know, there's a character called Nyx, and she's like the goddess of the underworld, darkness, whatever she is. Has kind of gone through and, you know, started her war on Olympus and slain all the Greek gods. And, you know, Hercules is out there trying to get revenge for all his brothers and sisters and uncles and fathers and mothers being slaughtered. But it's just been a lot of fun, you know, having those characters, you know, Rocket Raccoon and Hercules and the Hulk all kind of, you know, interacting with each other. You know, this is the Immortal Hulk, so he's the Hulk that has all Bruce Banner's intelligence and can talk and reason and think, and kind of, you know, meeting Hawkeye for the first time in a long time. And if you didn't read Civil War II, Hawkeye killed Bruce Banner, so there's some fun interactions going on there between the Hulk and Hawkeye, who isn't too happy. You know, the Hulk isn't too happy that Hawkeye shot him with an arrow in the head. So, but yeah, like I said, it's a good series. It's got, you know, about 7 issues to go. So I think it's going to be really good by the time all is said and done. And I really do recommend it. So go out and pick out Avengers No Road Home, issues 1 through 3.
All right. And I have a recommendation. Have you heard of Briggsland?
I have heard of it.
Okay. Have you read it?
Nope.
Wow.
I do know that it has also been optioned for television, though.
Oh, has it? Oh, look at me. Look at me.
Yeah. I know why you picked it up, though.
Yeah. Well, I was having a conversation with Ernie, the owner of Friendly Neighborhood, and we're literally in the middle of the conversation. My ADD took over because over his, like, left shoulder, I saw Briggsland, and like right in the middle of my sentence, I was like, Briggsland? And I was like, oh, sorry about that. He goes, oh no, because he knows he's about to sell a book.
Right.
So I grabbed the first one and I started reading it, and I'm about halfway through it, and I'm like, oh damn, why has it got my name on it?
Right.
do you know the premise of the story?
Not really.
Okay. It's like almost like a cult type thing.
Okay.
And it starts out that they're like racists, and the government's tracking them, and it's just it's an adult book, lots of language,
right.
But it's a good story. It's not a fun feel-good story, at least not so far. I'm hoping at the end that they're undercover spies and they're all good people, because it is my name. But
it doesn't seem to be going that way.
Not going the way I would have hoped with my name attached to it. Right. But yeah, it's really very interesting. It's by Brian Wood, Mac Chatter, and I guess Ernie, he has met Brian Wood. He's had them in signing and stuff like that. He said he's a really good guy. There's a whole series. I bought the first book. And
yeah, there was two miniseries, actually, that came out for that.
Yeah. And then I think there's some other stuff that Brian has done as well that he was trying to tell me about. But yeah, so far I like this, and I like it a lot. The artwork is fairly simple, very light, almost like tones to it, but the story itself is not light.
Right.
So I definitely recommend picking it up. It's such a change from, you know, reading Marvel or DC or something, you know what I mean? It's like it's not a fun story. It's just a good story.
Right.
So, little darker, but not DC darker.
Not DCU, huh?
Yeah, so, yeah.
DCEU.
Yeah, Briggsland. So.
Briggsland.
All right. Yeah, so, yeah, look for that. And Oh, yeah. So you want to get to your next one? And then I'll...
Sure. So my last book is Captain Marvel, Braver and Mightier.
I read that as well.
It says issue number one, but it's really, it's a one-shot, so doesn't necessarily need to have an issue number attached to it because there's nothing following it. But, you know, obviously on the shelves because we get Captain Marvel next week, so
right.
They're trying to get as much Captain Marvel exposure out as they can. But I really actually liked this story. You said you read it, so...
Yep.
You know, it's really... It's not about Carol as much as it is like the people from her hometown that are waiting for her to show up to celebrate Carol Danvers Day.
Right.
You know, she's off and she's having her adventure in space and she knows that she has to be, you know, she knows she has somewhere to be, but you know, she's a superhero. So you can't just leave right. You can't just leave the catastrophe because you have some place to be. But it really takes place from the perspective of these two high school kids that are getting a chance to ask her
one question.
Their question
yeah.
for their school newspaper before all the other media gets a chance to ask their questions and kind of bombard her with all
right.
the things they're going to do. And it's really these two kids trying to figure out what the one question is that they want to ask her because...
Right.
You know, you get one question. What are you going to ask that's going to be poignant and it's going to give you something to write about and it's going to, you know, be something that somebody else isn't going to ask.
Right.
So I really liked the story. I think the art was really good in this. I liked the interaction when Carol finally did get spoilers. And you know, she does make it to her celebration. I'm not going to tell you what the question or anything like
right.
that was. But
I love her answer.
But yeah, I thought the question was great. I thought her answers were great. And this was just a kind of a nice feel-good story. You know, it didn't have a lot of depth. Like, you didn't get deep into the psyche of Captain Marvel or anything. But it was just a really good read. It wasn't super deep. It, you know, pretty quick.
That's funny
to go through.
I can actually go super deep on you with that. Her answer.
Well, it depends on how right. It depends on how deep you want to go into her answer.
Her you know, answer you could, at the end is pretty
yeah.
much how I raised my kids.
right.
You know, it's like, and I don't want to get into the spoilers of it because, but there's that one page. I wish I had the page number in front of me, so like if you're listening and you read it, you'll understand. But it's a right side page, and it just it's her answer to the question. To one of their questions, and it's just it put it this way. You know what I mean by this. It's a
yeah.
it's a question that if you answer it the way she does, a lot of people will tell you that you're lying, that it's not that's nobody could feel that way, and I'm
right.
and I've always so I it's but other than and that when I got to that page, I was kind of blown away. Because up until then, I was reading the book. I liked it. I love the art, but I felt like it was a tone setter for the movie. Like they're just trying to like give you one last taste before the movie comes out. If you wanted to know, you know, a quick glimpse of what she's gonna be like. You know, she's
right.
kind of like powers of Superman, humor of Spider-Man. You know, or as strong as Superman, I should say, not the same powers, but. But the interaction throughout the book between, you know, they go to her part of the story and then they come back to the kids.
Right.
And, but her side is like, she's got those little quips and she's doing her thing, but she's,
right.
She's,
I'm not sciencey, you know?
Yeah.
I'm more punchy, not sciencey.
Right. Yeah. Like exactly. Like in that one line there, I was thinking of the Martian, like she's not going to science
yeah.
the crap out of anything. But I thought it was – that's where the story was going. It was the sole purpose was to – this is what you're – this is the Carol Danvers you're going to see in the movie.
Right.
If you don't – and we're going to get obviously more into Captain Marvel. My recommendation is the exact – not the same book, but it's the Marvel Studios Captain Marvel Prelude. Have you seen that? Have you read that?
I haven't read it.
Okay. It's a great – If you don't know a lot about Captain Marvel and you want to know more just going into the movie, I highly recommend this book because it is it's like a compilation of stories, of Captain Marvel stories, that are probably going to play heavily into the movie.
Right.
So, like, you and I will get into a little bit of the history of Captain Marvel. It's not always been Carol Danvers, blah, blah, blah. But this book, it's Corona Pilgrim. Let me see the names here. Because it's a compilation of story. Like, I've read some of these stories before. So, like, when I was reading the book, I was like, oh, I know this one. And it was, like, it was weird. It's good. It's good. But it really kind of tells you how the movie's, you know, the way they're making the movie and the storyline of the movie. Without giving away the movie, but just giving you the Carol Danvers they're going to handle.
Right.
Writer was Will Corona Pilgrim, and the artist was Andrea DeVito. So, definitely they get into Miss Marvel in this, obviously, and it's very good, especially coming into the movie. And it's made by Marvel Studios, so.
Right. Well, and I guess, you know, to piggyback off of that one more time, the life of Captain Marvel was a 5-issue miniseries that ended about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. So it's pretty recent. Again, a great primer for who she is if you're looking for some more background. You know, obviously she's been around for a long time, so there's tons of history. But the life of Captain Marvel was a pretty good story. Really kind of delved into the, I don't know if you read it or not, but, you know, really kind of delved into her character and her personality. And, you know, again, for somebody like me, I honestly haven't been a huge Captain Marvel fan or reader. I haven't gone very deep into her background.
Right.
So I enjoyed reading that, that miniseries as well, just so I could get some background on her.
And
I feel like coming out of that, you know, I know the character a lot better than I did before. So,
at this point,
it's a trade paperback. You'd probably just want to pick it up, you know, because it was 5 issues, and finding all 5 of them on the shelf at this point might be difficult. But
Before we get into Captain Marvel for the rest of the show here, did you read anything else today? Like, have you nothing?
No, I didn't get a chance to do any other reading today.
All right, so I read Shazam, the new Shazam number 3. That's pretty good. The story's getting good, really good. I read Heroes in Crisis, and I didn't read The Flash yet, the latest of the crossover, the Price.
Right.
I haven't read that yet. I got it today. But the Heroes in Crisis, both Shazam and Heroes in Crisis, I want to read again. They get that deep. It's they're really good stories, though. So
yeah, I'm actually looking forward to getting into several of these later on, because I really want to read Heroes in Crisis. I really want to read The Flash, especially. I know we talked about The Price a little bit last week, but since then I also got a chance to read Batman 65.
Yeah,
and you know, it's really kind of ramped up the intensity on that.
Right.
On that story. So
I was, it's funny when I sat down to read today, it's like, and you know, a little behind the scenes, I asked John earlier today what he's read, but right. I was like, cause I was trying to pick and choose what I was going to read. But one of my things was where The Price is it's a mix of, it's part of Heroes in Crisis. I'm like, which should I read first? I don't want one to spoil the other, but
well, yeah, and I don't know. Obviously, does. You went with Heroes first, but right. I had planned to finish The Flash and then go to Heroes in Crisis.
Yeah,
just
maybe
because I feel like we're 3/4 of the way into that story, anyway.
Right, finish it off before you go back to Crisis.
Before I go into Heroes,
yeah.
I don't know that it matters. Like you said, you read Heroes in Crisis, and you don't think it spoils.
Well, you read
one way or the other.
You read Flash first, and then we'll compare notes.
Okay.
Because I'm really looking forward to Flash, because Batman was so good. It's right. Such a good story. And I think it's funny because you were so mad.
I'm still upset. You know, again,
you're upset, but Marvel's doing the same thing. There's like 6 tangents coming off of realms.
Right. Well, yeah, but that's not interrupting something else.
True.
My biggest issue with I don't want to bring it all up again, but we didn't have to interrupt the Batman nightmare story to do this. Like, we could have just planned it better. That's my whole thing. It's just plan better. But,
yeah. Well, I think their plan was to get you sucked back into Batman if you weren't reading. You know what I mean? And vice versa. If you're reading Batman and now you're going through that, it's going to get you into Heroes in Crisis. So I get their planning.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like how they came up with the appetizer at the restaurants.
I'll tell you what really throws me off, though, is and this is just as an ordering perspective, and this is just very much as a retailer. You know, the price is a four-part story, right? Two parts are in Batman and two parts are in The Flash. So historically, just on normal issues, I sell way more issues of Batman than I do The Flash.
Yeah.
You know, just as a monthly title. But I made the assumption that I would sell equal amounts of The Flash as I did of Batman for these four issues. Because everybody that read Batman would want to read parts two and four.
Right.
Right. So for issue 64 of The Flash, which is part two, I ordered the same amount of copies as I did Batman.
Right. Because you're thinking the same people are going to buy them.
Right. And I sold all the Batman, but I left a chunk of Flash on the stand, like on the shelf. People didn't buy them. Huh. So then part three, Batman comes along, and I have my regular Batman numbers, and everybody bought them. But I ordered less of The Flash for today because I didn't sell all of The Flash from last week.
You sold out.
And I sold out of Flash today. And so I don't know who didn't read part two but was interested in parts one, three, and four.
Right. So but, so you basically ordered exactly what you sold before, right?
Right. And I sold out today and I have none left. So.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. You must have had people asking for it then, otherwise selling out is exactly what you'd want to do, right?
Yeah, but not at noon on,
well, say,
on Wednesday.
I don't know what your numbers are, but say you ordered 10 last time and you had 8 left over, so you order 8 this time and you sold 8, maybe those 8, that's the exact same people. Is that what
right.
Am I wrong
it
in
could,
assuming that? Maybe I'm
well,
not understanding
it could be,
you.
But I don't I don't think so. Like, cause I know people that would, I know people that hadn't come in, that hadn't come in yet to pick it up off the shelf.
Oh, okay.
That
oh,
would.
So,
you know
oh,
what
you
I'm
know
saying?
The exact people that did order it though.
Not all of them, but a few of them
right,
that
right.
I know I didn't see today.
Oh, so you
that
know,
will probably
you know
come
people
in.
That didn't get it yet. That's what, okay,
yeah,
I
yeah,
see
that's what I'm
all
saying.
Right,
I know a few
sense.
People that didn't necessarily subscribe to it. But I know they bought the other part, so
sorry.
when they come in Thursday or Friday, there's no more. But it just kind of, I don't understand it, you know?
Right.
It's like, who wanted parts 1, 3, and 4, but didn't want part two?
Sadly, and I know you don't like to hear this, sadly, people just, they could pick it up, they just grab it digitally.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh yeah,
well,
just,
yeah.
I'll
I mean,
that
they can
get, catch up.
They can get it if they want it, but... It just, like I said, it just, that's a little retailer tangent, but the math just didn't add up right for me on those four issues.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, All right.
That's what I get for thinking and trying to plan.
So, well, nothing has ever really gone well for us when we think.
No.
It's usually just do and then clean up.
Exactly.
Take a look at this podcast, for instance.
Yeah. Well, hey, but Mike liked us, so.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
Yep.
Since we're going to jump into Captain Marvel, and I know that's how we're going to kind of finish it out, there's a couple of things I kind of bookmarked today that I wanted to bring up. I don't know if you saw today, but we did get an official announcement and release date for Aquaman 2.
Yes, I did.
So that was I don't know if it was necessarily up in the air because I don't know of anybody that didn't think we were going to get the sequel, but I know we had talked last time about them maybe trying to shoehorn the trench in before
was it
Aquaman 2.
December 16th, right?
2022, yeah.
Yes, December 16th, so.
So, but I don't think that gives them time to make the trench and squeeze it in before. So I don't think that's going to happen necessarily, but I was really glad to see.
Well, it's 3 years away, and they don't even have Juan made the first one, right? So yeah. He hasn't even signed on yet in the article I saw. So they still haven't signed him yet. They just, which I think is weird. Like, all right, we came up with a release date, but we don't have obviously our director yet.
I think it's more like we didn't have Patty Jenkins announced for Wonder Woman 2 right away either because they were renegotiating her contract after the first one was such a big hit. So I think we know that it's going to be James Wan. But I think he's probably just lobbying for a little bit more scratch.
Sean, that's a great example. Wonder Woman got delayed.
Well, it did get delayed, but it didn't. That didn't have anything to do with... No, they changed the date of Wonder Woman way after they were already started.
Right, that's what I mean. So, like, they had announced the date, and then they started and went, oh, I think we jumped the gun, so they pushed it back. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Aquaman do the same thing.
Well, my understanding of that is it wasn't so much... from what I understand, if I heard right, that they noticed an opening in the scheduling where they felt like they could recapture a date that would give them a better opening, and that's why they moved to June rather than... like a winter release. I think it was all about the dollars and not necessarily about them being behind on production. I think something was canceled that was slated to come out in June that opened up that spot for Wonder Woman to come in. So
Justice League 2?
Well, yeah, but I think it was actually a Marvel. I think it was like a Marvel. It might have been Guardians 3 now that I'm thinking. Something was scheduled. But anyways, I think it's really good news that they're going forward with Aquaman 2, so I was glad to see that. Also, I'm sure you saw this, Titans Season 2, they cast Connor Kent.
Yep.
For Superboy, so that's really cool. Looks like they're going to go with the Young Justice origin Cadmus Labs storyline.
Yep.
For that, which kind of we kind of knew from the teaser at the end of Titans anyway.
I was surprised at how many people, and it wasn't a lot of people, but I was surprised at how many people were like, "What? Connor Kent's going to be in that?" You know, on Twitter, and then people would be like, "You didn't watch through the credits
through the credits of Titans."
And it was like people were blown away, and like you read a timeline, and you'd be like, oh, what? Like, so that their first comment was, huh? Connor Kent's going to be in it? Then later on, you'd see that same person go, I just watched it. That's awesome.
Right. Well, and then I don't know if you saw this today, too, but apparently there was an Easter egg for Superboy in the second episode of Doom Patrol.
Yes.
Which, you know, nobody would see unless you basically watched the whole thing on slow and pause and tried to look at every frame.
And that's what's great about Twitter. You get all these people dropping these little
nuggets. Yeah,
because
I didn't have time to do that.
Oh, God. No.
But it was really cool. There was kind of like a news story revolving around a car accident because a naked boy and his dog were walking down the street.
And did you see the rest of it? Like, that spawned a bunch of people bringing up other stuff. There's a bunch of Easter eggs in there about stuff that's showing up. Yeah. I was going to put that in my notes for this week, but we talked so much DC last week, I was trying to... But
And I'm, like I said, I'm moving through it. Want to move through it quick, but all these are stories that basically broke this afternoon.
Yeah,
so,
yesterday or today. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured it would be good to talk about both of them, and the last one I bookmarked it's not topical necessarily, but I noticed we've not really ever talked about this. Are you watching The Orville by any chance?
No.
On Fox.
No.
So, The Orville is the best Star Trek show that's been on since, like, The Next Generation. without being Star Trek, it is the most Star Trek show on TV. But, you know, it's Seth MacFarlane, of course, who does Family Guy. And, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect from this show when it launched last year. You know, I was figuring Family Guy in space, really, you know, and it was going to be a lot of humor and... you know, slapstick, stupid jokes and, you know, this and that, just like Family Guy. But it really isn't. Like, the first couple of episodes, I think they weren't sure what they wanted to be, and you had a little bit more humor while they were trying to figure themselves out, whether they wanted to really be a drama or like a comedy. But as it went on last season and then into this season, they've really kind of developed into a pretty good sci-fi show. You know, there's still some, you know, there's always the college humor jokes that creep in every once in a while. There's
really?
The one
from
guy.
Seth MacFarlane?
Right. You know, there's the one guy on the bridge that, you know, is the class clown and cuts up every once in a while. But the reason why I brought it up, though, is because I saw a tweet today based on the last episode that aired last week. But they are really tackling a lot of socially relevant themes and storylines. And if you're not watching it, you really need to start watching it because it's a great show. But this last episode, and
yes,
you know, it was a, well, I'm telling you, and all of you guys that are listening, Mike, that you need to start watching The Orville.
We're on a first name basis with our listener.
Mike's probably watching The Orville.
No, we have other listeners. I actually have another story quickly, but
last week's episode was a two-parter that kind of obviously goes into this week's episode. That's how two-parters work. But it was such such a great story, and it was just not anything.
Always informing our listeners.
I know, right? Just not anything I would have expected at all from a show by Seth MacFarlane. You know, because I've seen his movies, I've watched Ted and Ted 2 and Million Ways to Die in the West and Family Guy, and I like all of those things, but this is a much more serious take. And of course, he plays the captain in the show. And you know, it's really hard not to hear the Family Guy characters when he speaks,
right?
Because I'm so used to hearing those voices.
Yeah,
but you know, every time he talks, I hear Brian Griffin.
When he hosted the Oscars, I had trouble not hearing like his characters,
right?
You know, just watching him talk.
But yeah, like I said, I really wanted to bring it up because it is a great sci-fi show, and if you've stayed away from it because it's Seth MacFarlane, and you know you don't necessarily like Family Guy or the other things that he's done, I really think you should give this show a try because it really is a good sci-fi show. And like I said, to me, it's the most Star Trek show on TV.
Well, see, that's the thing for me is I'm not really a Star Trek fan. I've always been a Star Wars fan. And then that was when we were kids, that to me, that was a bigger rival to me than DC Marvel.
Oh, so, for sure.
You know what I mean? And it's, but the irony is I liked the Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
I remember, cause like in the 80s when you first got cable and maybe you got HBO, that a lot of, they were all on HBO.
Wrath of Khan was on like every day.
Oh yeah, they all were. And it's, I loved watching those. But I could never get into the show. I was more, and here's a conversation that actually came up, and we actually had this exact conversation this past weekend. And one of the guys I was talking to, he mentioned a show I'd completely forgot about and loved when I was a kid, Space 1999.
Yeah, Martin Landau.
Yeah, and I was like, as soon as he said it, we both started cracking up. But we were like, we started talking about the characters and but I like that and Battlestar Galactica when I was a kid. Those shows. And I never really followed Star Trek. So to start following the shows now, I've always just been like, I'm already behind. So I've actually watched a little bit of the show and I do like Seth MacFarlane. So like he actually would have brought me to it.
I would say then jump into The Orville because you can watch it without feeling like you missed all the Star Trek that came before it.
Right.
But you can get the feel. And yes, I am ordering you to watch it. So
great. Another thing on my list. But yeah, so that brings me to is that all your notes?
Yes.
Okay. So that is awesome that you had notes because you and I talked about this last week when we finished recording. So it's funny. We usually have our quick pre-show, which is what, 5-10 minutes. Then we
start
recording.
Right. And then we have like the 3-hour after show.
Yeah. Like the after show goes longer than us talking because this is what we like to do.
Right.
But in the show, in the post show, whatever you want to call it, we should start recording that and just put that out. post-credits show.
Yeah, right.
But we said we didn't mention like the Netflix stuff. Well, I had a guy come up to me, a listener come up to me this week and said, I was listening to your show, Craig. And he said, you didn't even mention the whole Marvel Netflix thing about them dropping the, and I started laughing. I was like, you're right. We laughed about it. We talked about it after the show. And then it dawned on me, right in the middle of talking to him, I go, but you knew about it, right? And he goes, yeah. And I said, then why did we have to talk about it? And we laughed because it's like, right. But I thought it, you know what? And it was kind of cool because it makes you realize like people want to hear you just talk about it.
Right.
Even though they already know about it, which I thought was weird, but kind of
I guess
cool.
They want to know that we know about it.
Right. Like, well, that's a great point, too. I didn't even think of that. They're like, oh, my God, these guys are idiots.
Right. And I'm like, listening to them, and they don't even know about the Netflix shows.
Right. But we come into these things, and we have an idea on what we talk about. But, like, the idea of the show is just us hanging out talking comics in a comic book store. And
yeah, if they knew how unprepared we were for actually all of these conversations.
Well, but that's the funny thing is we want to keep it that way. We're actually overprepared for talking in a comic book store, but underprepared for a podcast.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't walk into a comic book store with the amount of information that we usually sit down with.
Yeah, you know I don't have a post-it note when I walk in of these are the topics that I'm going to talk about today.
Right, and your list of books and stuff like right. that. But we do. We just go off on tangents and we have fun. But and then after the show, go, oh, I forgot to mention such and such. So, yeah, we do know about that stuff. But that's what's fun about talking with the listeners is like, oh, yeah, we'll talk about that next week. Or, yeah, we knew about that. We got on a tangent this week. But so, yeah, that I thought that was funny because that it's like, one, I hear that during the week. Two, you come into the show with all these like notes
right.
to make sure we hit on them. But all right, you ready to get into Captain Marvel?
Yeah, I think so.
The future of our world is at stake.
You have a mission.
How do I look? Fresh.
On March 8th. Is this normal?
Pretty much.
Go higher. Go further. Go faster.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Marvel.
You know you're glowing, right?
This film contains scenes that may be too intense for younger viewers.
All right. So, do you want to get all the bull crap out of the way first?
What's the bull crap?
Just all the whole negativity around her and stuff. I think we should touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, so I guess I'm assuming you're talking about like the Rotten Tomatoes review bombing and all that stuff that's been going on. And I know that was another the one that we said we were going to touch on last week and we didn't.
Right.
that we talked about after the show. That kind of is what spurned us to have this her as our topic for this week anyways.
Right.
So, you know, long story short, you know, Brie Larson did an interview for, I think, Marie Claire magazine. And in this article, she talked about how she would like to see more representation in the – basically in the media core.
Right.
From females and people of color. And
yeah, she'd see a more diverse
right, a more diverse media core. Right. And so all the entitled white men in the world got threatened by this and felt like she was calling for them to all be replaced by – you know, more more diverse.
And that's not what she said.
But, you know, it spurned a bunch of people to get their panties in a wad and go on to Rotten Tomatoes and start to, you know, review bomb this movie that hasn't even come out yet.
I think part of it, too, is it's not just that. That's in conjunction with, like, the DC people. You know what I mean? Like, so the people that are so heavily DC, they don't want to see this succeed because they feel like if this succeeds, it's going to take away from Wonder Woman. So you have that, and those people now also have a platform, if you will, which is unjustified platform, but a platform to glom onto. And they start doing this whole, Rotten Tomatoes bash where they start trying to manipulate the score, and then Rotten Tomatoes comes out and goes, well, we're changing the way we do things. And now right. you have that whole uproar going on, all because of Captain Marvel.
Right. Well, and that's because of Captain Marvel to a great degree, but to a smaller degree also Star Wars 9, which started to get the same thing happening
well,
to it.
Right. I think Captain Marvel was the last straw, because they did it on Last Jedi, too.
Right. But then, like I said, in the last couple of days, we started to see it for Star Wars 9. And like you said, this is a combination of a lot of different people that are upset about things.
Right.
You know, it's the DC versus Marvel people. It's the white guys who don't want to see their jobs replaced by diversity hires.
Right.
It's the white men that are just threatened in general by strong female character-driven movies and don't want
to see
it.
Clarify on that. What she said was, and she has clarified it, or tried
right.
to, but nobody wants to listen to that part. So, and this is my example. She didn't say this part, but say there's 100 people in the press corps in front of her.
Right.
She's not saying, I want 30 white people, I want 30 women, 30 colored. What she was saying was, keep the 100 that are here, just bring me more.
Right.
You're like, I want, she was basically calling out to people, you know, other than white men, if you're not a white man, why don't you come too? Because I like, you know, she wants to talk to the white men that are already there, but don't feel threatened. Come on in. It kind
right.
of a deal. And people took it the wrong way. Like you said, it's like they took it that she wanted those men replaced when
right.
it's like, no, it's, she didn't say she doesn't like them. She just wants more. It's like, why don't we get more people in here like that? Which is a great opportunity to do that. You know what I mean? Where it's like, say you take a job like, I don't know, any job. You've only got one position to fill. But you're like, oh, we've got to diversify that position. But you only have one position. But
right.
here, it's a press corps. You can keep the people you have and still diversify by adding to it. You
right.
don't have to eliminate to diversify.
Right,
and
right.
That's,
like
she was
you said,
taking
she wasn't calling for anybody
to
lose their jobs.
Right.
She just wanted to see more people brought to the table.
Right.
And to clarify, now, granted, Brie Larson is a female, so, you know, she has a vested interest there.
Really?
She is
more
a white female.
More breaking news.
Right, but I'm saying she is a white female, so it's not like she's calling out against white people.
Right.
Because, it really was just a ridiculous situation overall. And then, like you said, so you mentioned Rotten Tomatoes, again, announced today, maybe yesterday. But
yeah, I think it was yesterday or Monday or something like
yeah.
that. But whatever
that,
it was. But they
that
changed
they're eliminating,
their,
yeah, they're changing their platform and eliminating people being able to
comment.
Put these comments on movies before they have been
before
released.
Before they come out, which
now,
cracks me up.
I disagree with that
I don't.
Stance. I do. I don't agree with anything that any of these people had to say, but I do agree with their right to say whatever they want to say. You know, I don't think we should be stifling people's freedom of expression. Now, I do agree that
but you're gonna
maybe
have
they
that
should,
opportunity when the movie comes out.
Right,
so,
right. I do agree that maybe you shouldn't be able to comment on a movie that hasn't even come out yet
in a review
standpoint, but there should still be a forum to
there is
for people
it's called
to,
Twitter.
Right, well,
you know, and that's
there
the
is
thing
Twitter.
Is well what ends up happening
I just
is,
disagree with their stance on this. Like, I don't think you solve anything by taking away people's ability to say what they want to say.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I think they were also under pressure, and this is just a guess on my part. I haven't read this anywhere or anything like that. I think they might have been under pressure from studios. I did read that people are saying that Disney was pressuring them, but I don't think Disney in particular, I think all the studios were probably like, look at what you're doing here. That can hurt another movie that isn't as big. Like this, Captain Marvel has already set records for opening weekend and it hasn't come out yet. You know, they've already pre-sold tickets more than I think any other movie or something like that, or pretty close to it. So it's not going to hurt this movie. But I think, like, on a lesser movie, if a bunch of people decided to come out with some bad reviews and bad takes, it would make somebody go, maybe I won't see it. And I think that's what Rotten Tomatoes is trying to do, is they're taking the voice away from people that haven't even seen the movie yet. You could still go on after the movie comes out and bash it all you want, but here's the thing. People that like these movies, like you and I, did you go on Rotten Tomatoes and write a comment on how great you think the movie is?
No,
because we haven't seen it. You don't put out a positive review if you haven't seen it because you don't want to look ridiculous. But
I also didn't go to Rotten Tomatoes looking for something to make me decide whether I wanted to see the movie or not.
Like, no,
the only all it's
going to
do is stop. It's going to stop the lemmings. It's going to stop the people who can't think for themselves.
But see, the studios don't care if you're thinking for yourself or not. They just want you to go. And bad press, unsubstantiated bad press, is bad for a movie. So if you eliminate that platform, then it goes away. Do it on Twitter. Do it someplace else. But here, and that's what stinks for like Rotten Tomatoes. Everything that happens before the movie comes out, actually contributes to the overall score after the movie comes out. So if you're coming in with, you know, like that'd be like going to school and the teacher looking at you going, I'm starting everybody off with a 20 on their first quiz, but you haven't taken the test yet. Your first test, you get 100, but your average is a 60 for the class now. That's not cool. And that's what these people are doing because they're coming in, the movie's coming out, they're already in the negative. And like I said, a movie like Captain Marvel isn't going to suffer from this, but lesser movies will. So I think Rotten Tomatoes is like, look, enough's enough. You burnt this bridge.
All you're doing is the only thing you're saving by turning off these reviews until the movie comes out. The only thing you're saving is the 7 p.m. show on Thursday night. Because once that show starts at 7:05, these people can all get on and start doing the same thing they were doing this week. So if I'm looking at this movie on Friday morning, which is technically the day the movie comes out, all those bad reviews are there. And that's legal because the movie has already come out. So all you've saved is the showing on the preview night for that movie.
But here's the thing, and this is the part that like the negative people are saying right now. They're like, oh yeah, well wait till the movie comes. Fine, take it away from us now, but we're going to bash it anyways when it comes out. Yeah, but when it comes out, it's also going to be inundated with positive reviews because that's when people put those out. So then the percentage is changed. And you know what I mean? So then you're always going to get your idiots that come out and say negative things regardless if they've seen it or not. But after the movie comes out, it's less of a hit because that you have the positive reviews as well. Whereas before the movie comes out, there's no positive reviews. It looks bad, and there's no need for it. And to be honest with you, it's like I understand the side where people think it's like on the side of censorship, but it's not. You still have your platform. You can still go someplace else and talk about it. It's Rotten Tomatoes. It's their platform. They can do what they want with it, and they're saying enough's enough. And they have the right to do that too.
Of course they do. So, I mean, everybody has the right to do whatever they want with their company.
Right.
And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, and I know I am only just me, and I can only speak for myself. But
John, you're two people.
But in my lifetime, I have never once gone to Rotten Tomatoes to look up a score for any single movie I've ever watched. I could care less what person puts on there. I am of the mind, you know, call me crazy, that I will go see a movie and form my own opinion of whether or not I like it.
Honestly, that's how we came up with this idea of us talking the bright side because we were tired of all that crap. And I never went to Rotten Tomatoes. Till we started doing this, I never went to Rotten Tomatoes. And then once we got going, I've never been back to Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. I never have either. Our first show or two when we talked about Justice League, we made a point to talk about their Rotten Tomatoes score, and we have never been back since. We don't even do that anymore because it's irrelevant.
People are looking back on our thing right now going, where's Justice League?
Oh, did we not even put that out? That's one of the shows we're going to make you listen to when we get really mad at you. But you see how it's not even something we do because it's completely irrelevant. So I don't think it hurts any. Like, I don't think these major studios are all that concerned over what's happening on Rotten Tomatoes or any of these other review websites. If they're losing sleep over that, then they don't really believe in their product to begin with.
Well, you say that, but look at what DC did. They completely changed their entire story arc because of you know, fan pressure.
So yeah,
they,
and look
they
how
do
look,
listen.
Look how well that worked out for them.
Exactly. But no, I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying that they do listen, and it is good to listen to your fans. You know, because you want to give them the product they want to a degree.
Right, but what I'm saying is I don't think anybody's losing sleep over what people are saying about a movie that hasn't come out yet.
Right.
It's a different story after the movie's released. Of course Disney cares if their movie comes out and 80% of the public says it's terrible. Well, then you have to be listening. I mean, you know, there's no way they're not. But I don't think they're...
I still like Green Lantern.
I don't think Kevin Feige's losing any sleep over these Rotten Tomatoes scores.
No.
He knows what he has. And people are going to go see it. Everybody that's complaining about it, they're all still going to see it. So it doesn't really matter.
I don't know about that. I mean, there are some pretty ignorant people out there saying, like, negative things, and they'll never go see it. And they have no intention. They just want to be part of a dumb cause or something like that. I don't know. But, all right, let's get to the actual movie slash character. So
okay.
We could go off on this for another...
Yeah, and we're in, you know, true to form, we're not really going to go on too much about the movie because we haven't seen it yet. So
no, but
we're not going to form our reviews and opinions on something we haven't seen.
Right, and like I think you said earlier, I don't know if it was pre-show or you said it on the podcast, but like our background in Captain Marvel before I knew the movie was coming out was pretty limited.
Yeah.
And so once you know the movie's coming out, and this was even before I had a I wanted to know more about her. I knew about her. I knew about him, her, all the characters because in, you know, through the years. But I was like, oh, how did I miss this character? I'm like, you know, it was just one that I didn't read a lot about when I was a kid or even later. And then so you start doing your, you know, research or reading about it and you come to find out there's a reason for that. And it's funny. It's like, I'm sure you saw exactly what I saw. And it actually goes all the way back to, DC's, well, to Shazam and that whole battle.
Right. Well, I mean, for the name
exactly.
Only. Right.
Well,
like,
if
we were going to talk about this, I think, when we talked about Shazam, but I guess...
Well, yeah, but, yeah, we don't need to get into the DC Shazam Superman battle right now. We'll talk about that when we talk about Shazam. But they stopped using Captain Marvel. Well, when you stop using something, you lose the copyright of it. You need to continue to use it. And that's what... So, I'm sorry, Marvel picked it up.
Right.
The term Captain Marvel. And to keep that, and so that they didn't lose it back to DC, they had to do a story on Captain Marvel at least once every 2 years.
Right.
So you start to go through the history, and then when I saw that, you start to look through the history, and you're like, oh, that's why it seems so sporadic. Because it literally was. The character, like, and that's why you have different iterations of Captain Marvel through the years. And we're getting Carol Danvers, which is one of the last versions of Captain Marvel. But
it is the last version.
Right.
Or the current. It is the current version.
The current version. So, but it's, I think it looks like the movie's also going to be with, you know, have a part of the Captain Marvel story.
Right,
the original.
Right. So Marvel he's a Kree warrior, and he was Captain Marvel, the original Captain Marvel in Marvel comics. And yes, Jude Law is playing him in the movie.
Right.
So we are going to get some of that backstory with him.
Well, I think, yeah, we're going to see that. We're going to see her origin, how she it looks to me from the previews that we've seen, you're going to see that a version of how she became Captain Marvel.
Right.
I don't think
we'll see all her other iterations.
I don't know. And that's what I think will be pretty cool is what we've seen from the trailers. We've seen a little bit of her original costume and we've seen her last costume, her latest, right?
Right.
I don't know. For all we know, they could do everyone in, but they could make her Miss Marvel. They could make her. She's in the trailer. There is memory loss in some of the trailers. She doesn't know why she's back. She doesn't, and that's in the books. In the books, there's time travel. She does that a bunch of times. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the cat. I love people that like, they don't understand the cat. it's Goose now, and they named it Goose after Top Gun.
Right.
It's because she's a pilot. But in the books, it's Chewie, and it was named after Chewbacca.
Right.
But, so that's pretty cool that they still stuck to like a movie theme.
Like right, and
after,
a pilot.
Named after a pilot, a co-pilot.
And a co-pilot, right.
Yeah, so, but I've heard a few people, and they weren't angry, but it would have been cool if the cat was still Chewie.
Right, and I think it's all Marvel and Disney, so I guess they can cross the streams if they want to, but I'm sure they didn't want to reference Star Wars in their Marvel movie. And
well,
that's probably why they changed it to Goose away from Chewie.
But that's funny you say that. But then in the book that we just talked about, that we both read that came out today, they actually mentioned Star Wars in the book.
Well, the book and the movie are two different things, though. Like,
yeah, one's
what they can get away with in the movie, on the book, they might not want to bring up in the movie. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just guessing. But
right,
what's
the
reason to change that? There's no reason to change it unless, like I said, they just don't want to be referencing
their other
huge property, which is Star
right.
Wars.
But it is a cool reference. It's, like you said, it keeps the same, you know, co-pilot theme and everything like that. But where the story's going to go, and I think the biggest thing that, and you can do all the Captain Marvel research you want, how they're going to incorporate this into the, the Marvel universe we have right now, the cinematic universe we have right now with Thanos and stuff, is going to be interesting.
Right.
And how is she going to deal with, well, the biggest question of this movie is why haven't they called her yet?
Well,
you know,
I guess where has she been?
Minute?
Right, where has she been through this whole thing? Because for those that don't know, you know, this movie is a timepiece. You know, it takes place in the 90s, which is, you know, way, way before where we are now with Endgame and Thanos and all of that. So the biggest question is going to be where has she been all this time? You know, obviously Nick Fury has known of her existence this entire time. So somewhere in this movie, they're going to explain to us why she's been kept secret, I think, all this time.
So in that Captain Marvel prelude book, the book opens up with different scenes from, like, it opens up in Sokovia, like literally on the floating city while it's like being raised by Ultron.
Right.
So they give you scenes from that. They bring you, and it basically they bring you up through a timeline, glimpses of it, of all the way to right before Fury disintegrates.
Right.
But it like when you're reading it, it's literally lines from the movie. But then there's a few panels that have a little bit more information, maybe three or four panels. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. So that's why I said I recommend picking up that book because it looks like they're trying to give you an idea. And then when you read the rest of the Captain Marvel stories, it's like that's how they're going to go in the movie. But they give a little bit of background on why Fury hasn't called her.
Right.
So I don't think they gave anything away. I was hoping they did, but
well, no, they're going to keep, you know, Marvel keeps everything pretty close to the vest. So
yeah,
they're not going to tell you anything that they don't want you to know. But they're not going to spoil this movie in the comic. All I have to say is if the end credit scene for this movie is not Carol looking at her side of the beeper, I want my money back. Because
right, and well, and that's it. Where is she?
Right.
When the beeper, it's like, it's one thing that, where, when she looks at her side of the beeper, where is she?
Right. When is she? You know, because again, time travel plays a part.
I don't know. Pagers can do time jumps, can they?
Well, who knows? It's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. That looked like a pretty archaic beeper, though.
Yeah.
It's funny though, but she has that seventh sense.
Right.
So why does she need a beeper?
Yeah, right. She should just already know. Well, and where has she been when all these people are, obviously 50% of the people wherever she is are disintegrating too. So
right.
Did she really need somebody to call her to tell her something bad was happening?
Yeah. I think it's like, that's why I said earlier, she's kind of got that Spider-Man thing going. She has that, she has the little quips. She's, when she's fighting, she's a little looser. Right. But she also has, when I used to read, you know, even back then, I always referred to it as Spidey sense.
Right.
Cause I read Spider-Man first, obviously, but, what's her sixth sense? I never knew that. Why is it seventh?
I don't know.
I never found that out. And I just, just saying that because that's how they always refer to it in the books, is that it, like, right, her sixth sense. And I'm like, her seventh sense, I'm sorry.
Right.
But yeah, I always thought of it as Spidey sense.
Well, the sixth sense, I think, is seeing dead people. So I don't know what the seventh sense is.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's already reserved for that?
I think so.
Okay. I was just thinking.
That's what M. Night Shyamalan says anyways.
Right. So. But I was always just thinking, like, if you have five senses, but I didn't know they had a particular order, and I didn't know six. Like, if you have a sixth, that's your sixth sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking of it like, so you have your five senses, and now if you can sense danger, that's your sixth sense.
Right.
If you can sense dead people and danger, now you have seven.
Right.
But you know what I mean? But if you can't sense dead people, you don't skip over six. That's how I was thinking of it. So,
well, maybe
I bet you're
maybe
right.
She can
that's
do
exactly
both.
What it is.
I don't know.
Wow, she must really be bombarded.
Yeah, really? So, I don't know.
But yeah, that's a good
point. Question. I have no idea.
I didn't even think of it. No, good answer. I didn't think of that answer, like the sixth sense is sensing dead people. But
I don't know. Like, if you're blind, is that your fifth sense then? Like, I don't know how we do this. You know?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you're Matt Murdock, I guess that's your fifth sense to see dead people. So,
right.
I don't know. That went to a weird place.
I was just going to say, see, dear listener, this is how we go off on tangents.
Right.
So if you're blind, do you still get a sixth sense? Because now you're missing one of the five. What if you're blind? Helen Keller, what does she got?
Right. It's your first sense?
Well, she's not a superhero.
Right.
But... Oh, man. Okay. Back on topic. So...
to all those we offended, I apologize.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well.
To all of our deaf listeners, I apologize.
Those are the lucky ones.
Yeah, right? They didn't have to hear me insulting them.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think how this story is going to go, reading everything that I've read, I think it's going to be like everything else. You can't do enough research and find it out because it's They're going to jumble up a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And the more research you do and the more you read about it, you're going to be able to pick up on little nuggets in there that are going to mean something that'll be like we'll see a suit in the background or something, like in her closet. You'll see one of the suits. You know what I mean?
Right.
It might not exactly be in the movie, but it, you know, kind of like that branch in Terminator 2 type thing.
Right. Well, so, like I said, she's gone from Miss Marvel. She's also been Binary and Warbird. And those are the, like, I don't think we see that evolution of her in this movie. I don't think we'll see Binary or Warbird at all.
No.
I don't even know that we'll see Miss Marvel necessarily.
But you might get, like, a few references, there might be a lines suit of it or something. Right.
There might be a suit in her closet or something, like you said. Who knows? But
yeah.
It's a two-hour movie, so, you know, we're not going to see all of it.
So is this podcast.
Well, and look how many tangents we can go off on. So,
right,
I guess, yeah. Of course, you know, they'll have a much more cohesive story that makes sense than what we have to say. So,
yeah. I don't anticipate a lot of Helen Keller talk.
No,
in the movie.
Well, Carol, what is your sixth sense, anyways?
So, yeah. All right. Are you gonna go see the movie, John?
I am. I have my tickets already for opening night. Yeah. I've had them for about 2 weeks, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we've talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I got mine back in January. I couldn't believe it. Just yesterday, I texted my daughter. I'm like, she's off at school or college. And I texted her. I go, "You're coming home Friday, aren't you?" And she's like, "Yep." And I was like, "Oh, because the movie's next week."
Yeah.
And she's going to be home so that we can go see the movie together. But I started laughing because it just flew by. It didn't even dawn on me that it was like Friday she's coming home and it's next Thursday next we get week. To go see it. Yeah, a week and a day.
Yeah.
So that we'll be talking. We'll have our full review, spoiler loaded.
2 weeks. Two weeks
from right now.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Is that good for this week?
I think so. We've offended enough people.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we lost a listener.
Hey, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. So if I learned anything this week, it's awesome when you guys hit us up on Twitter, email us, talk to you in stores. It's great. That's why we do this. We want the feedback. Told a lot of people that this week.
Yeah, I'd love to have more of it.
Yeah, it's going to make it, you know, it's hanging out in a store. And like there was one opportunity I had this week where I got a whole bunch of people talking together and we had great, it was, you know, like I went in there just trying to talk to individuals at a time. And then we were all around this table and I was literally like emceeing the thing. I'm like, "What do you think of this? And what do you think of this?" And it was pretty fun. It was actually probably the most fun I've had in a comic book store in my life, because it's, usually you go in and you read your book or you look at stuff and you're quiet. And this was, you know, there was a lot of interaction, not just between me and a particular customer, but there were a few times where it was multiple customers.
Right.
So that would be a blast if this could become that, just having the conversations during the week. And then we talk about them. We bring them here to the podcast. So, yeah, hit us up on Twitter, you know, @thebrightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Google Play, soon to be maybe a few other platforms. But yeah, definitely. And on Facebook, John?
Facebook.com/brightsidechat.
Nice. So not really active on that one. I've lost my connectivity to that. So we'll get that going again.
Honestly, Twitter is the best place to get us.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you really want to converse. Facebook doesn't have too many followers, and it's just not as conducive to conversation.
Right. Yeah.
But that being said, don't be afraid to post, because we will read it. Or at least I will, because I still have connectivity to it.
Right. So. All right. That's it?
Yep.
That was fun. All right. So that actually, I should say, last week was the second most fun I've had in the store. This is the most fun I have in the store.
Yeah. That's good catch. Good save.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you next week.
All right.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.